Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, the gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Well, this statement here that Jesus makes, well, that's the essence of our faith. That's what we proclaim on Easter and every celebration of Easter each week. Talking about Sundays, naturally, because that's what we do. We talk about Jesus, talk about how he died and rose yet again from the grave. But this quote of Jesus here to the disciples, well, it's not quite what you would expect. And when you're looking at Mark's gospel account, Jesus makes this same prediction here 3 times. Now, the first time when Jesus says this, well, we remember the reply. Because when Jesus talked about how he was going to be killed and, you know, be beaten and all that kind of stuff, Peter takes him aside and rebukes Jesus for saying this. And Jesus turns back to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you have in mind the things, not the things of God, but the things of men." Now, the third time that Jesus says this, well, Jesus replies that, well, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. What we have here today is the second time that Jesus mentions it. And when he does, he provides perhaps the biggest paradox that we'll ever experience. And that's what we're going to focus on here this morning. Now recall last week's gospel account. Jesus had been with his disciples, and well, there was a boy who had an unclean spirit, and Jesus is the one who kicked that spirit out. And the disciples had asked Jesus about it. I was like, well, how come you could do that and we couldn't? And recall what Jesus said to them. It's like, well, this particular kind, nothing but prayer can take care of that. So after this moment here that we have here with Jesus, well, Jesus takes off then with the disciples, and off they go. Now, as Jesus mentions this, he's making sure that the guys are quiet. You know, they don't want to be around him or be around other people. He wants to make sure that they're off by themselves so that he could teach his disciples. But an interesting thing here is that when Jesus makes this statement here, that second time here about how he's going to be killed and rise yet again, all the disciples don't say anything to him about it. I don't think I would either. I mean, last time that he said a statement like this, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't think anybody wanted to hear that again, particularly not Peter. So what do the disciples do this time? Well, they just kind of keep on walking and ignore it like he didn't say it at all. But after a time, well, they get to Capernaum there, and the disciples there, Jesus asks them, what were you guys talking about there along the road? Well, they're kind of embarrassed about this, and they didn't really want to mention it, but what they were discussing there is who was the greatest. Now, at least that's the way it's translated in our Bibles. But a better translation of that, go back to the original Greek there, it's talking about who is greater. You see, it would seem that the disciples there are trying to rank themselves. They want to see who's at the top and who's at the bottom in the ranking. Now, regardless of where they're going here with thinking this, Jesus calls them all together again. He's like, "All right, hey guys, you know, let's sit down and talk about this." And he says, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Now this would seem like a new teaching here. Here the disciples are trying to rank themselves about who is the greatest here, and Jesus says that if you want to be the greatest, well, you have to be at the bottom of the pole, the bottom of the ranking there. Be servant of all. That's the paradox that he's bringing before them. And it's kind of troubling, I'm sure, for them to hear this, because no army would want to be at the bottom of the pole. No government. No king would certainly want to be servant of all. Nobody would think that. Because the one at the top has the most. They have the most power. They have the most money. They have the most control. You see, that's what the disciples were after. Because they knew that one day Jesus would be king himself. And so they wanted to be, when he's a king, well, they wanted to be at his right and left hand there. They wanted to be ranked there according to their authority and power that they would be given. Definitely not this business here, being at the bottom, servant of all. But yet, that's what they were thinking. It's not too far a stretch for us to be thinking that way, too. If you think about it, our culture is ingrained that way. I'm always talking about who is the best, particularly when you start talking about sports. Got the Super Bowl. You know, you got the World Series. Got to make sure. You talk about your teams there. Think about the newspaper there. What's on the backside? I like how our newspaper's that way. You got the front page, all the articles. But if you want to go right to the sports, you just flip it over the back and work your way from there. But doesn't that tell you how important sports are? Who's number one? That's our culture. And Jesus is talking about that. Talking about doing the opposite. You see, in our epistle lesson, how does James call it? He talks about selfish ambition there, okay? Talking about being self-centered. And when you're thinking along in those terms there, well, God gets left out of our lives and gets left out of our culture as well. Sin starts to run rampant in that kind of environment. And when sin runs rampant in our life, it happens because we let it rule our life in that fashion. And that's why what Jesus said seems like such a paradox. We know Jesus. We know God. God is the creator of the universe. He is our creator. He's number one. He's the one to whom we give all the glory. But his kingdom is different. Jesus is different. Service is highly valued. Being humbled is important. Humility is highly valued. James said, God gives grace to the humble. How odd. But Jesus reinforces this with his disciples. He gets a chop to them, puts them in the midst of them. Look at this child here. You need to be like this child. Their culture is really no different than ours. Children there are at the bottom. In the bottom of the sense of, do they have a lot of authority? Now, parents might be thinking, yeah, they do, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you got to feed them. Yeah, it might happen in that fashion, but as far as the world is concerned, no, they're at the bottom because they have no authority, they have no power. But yet the lowly, the children, are treasured in Jesus' kingdom. This is a new concept here for the disciples, but it shouldn't be. What Jesus is doing here in his sermon illustration is pointing out that humility and servanthood are some of the most valued things in his kingdom. And Jesus was going to show that to them in earnest. He was going to be the one to be arrested. He was the one who could do all kinds of miracles. He's the one who had the authority over creation. He stilled the storm. He walked on the water. He healed people. He brought them back from the dead. But yet the same Jesus, though, was going to submit himself to what the authorities were going to do to him, to beat him, abuse him, mock and spit on him, treat him as one of the lowest. Indeed, they did. They put him to death. Death on a cross. To watch him die there is the worst of the worst. To point out to everybody else that his life was coming to be of no consequence, no value at all. But yet it's the same Jesus who gets all the glory. The same Jesus who gets all of the praise, our praise. The same Jesus is the one whom we worship. The same Jesus whom every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. For there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved, might be saved. And that's through Jesus Christ and through him alone. You see, in the most humbling of ways, Jesus laid down his life for us that we might be saved. The one who had 12 legions of angels at his disposal, who did not use them, but rather let his life be taken there on the cross, for he was following the Father's will. And it was the Father's will that he die, that we might be forgiven of our sins. And as Jesus rose from the grave alive to give us hope, hope of everlasting life. You see, he was earning a victory that could not be matched. A victory, the greatest victory ever earned. For in that victory over death there, when he rose from the grave alive, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. He rose from the grave victorious and ascended into heaven, where he reigns over all. And incredibly, Jesus gives us a portion in his victory. Those who believe in him share in that victory. We are given a place in heaven, where one day we will be with him, enjoying that victory for an eternal lifetime. But in the meantime, we're still here on this earth, and we are to live in that paradox as well. For we who are followers of Jesus Christ need to follow his example. While we desire to be the greatest here on this earth, we are to be servants. We are to be humble. We are to love our neighbor, no matter who our neighbor is. And are all of these a challenge? Sure they are. But while they are a challenge for us to accomplish, we have been empowered to carry them out. How? In our baptisms there, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come upon us, enabling us, encouraging us, directing us to follow Jesus and follow in his ways. So we can serve others, and we do serve others here at church and home and elsewhere. We serve others when we teach our children and adults as well. When we prepare a meal for somebody who is ill, perhaps working on fun events to attend. You see, service can be so fulfilling in so many ways. But the main way it's fulfilling is because what are you doing when you serve the Lord? You are reflecting the love of Jesus Christ to others. And while the world doesn't get this paradox, you do. And because you do, the one who is the greatest servant of all exalts you before the Heavenly Father. He says, look at mine, look at my children, look at the ones who belong to you, Heavenly Father. See what they are doing in your name. And indeed you are. For that's the glory we receive in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we have to look forward to through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.